closely work together in the service of Krishna, then the home becomes Vaikuntha. It is not the material world. So for their incredible example of helping the children of our movement, in every way they are helping the society of Vaishnavas. I think there's no more difficult service. I think even Brahma would have a hard time being the public relations director of ISKCON. Lord Brahma with his four heads would probably be bewildered how to do that. But Anuttama Prabhu is doing it. Hari Hari. And Rukmini Mataji, she's the goddess of devotion. What can we say? She's remained steady, faithful, and loving toward devotees for so many years, through so many circumstances. She has just gone on in such a gracious mood of love. And I remember last year, they invited me to their home. And the day before the program, there was some mishap at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. You may remember that day. And because of that, we had a prayer meeting at temple. But I was very eager to come. And today I'm feeling very blessed by Prabhupada that I am allowed to be here. These two devotees are such ideal examples. I do not want to embarrass them, but it is my pleasure in doing so. This is the way Krishna conscious philosophy is. There are so many apparent contradictions that are very enjoyable to relish. Well, at that time, their stores were being closed. And Rukmini Devi, with tears in her eyes, she said, please give blessings, please give prayer that these stores can nicely serve the Vaishnavas. Because factually, the majority of their income they use to serve devotees. Devotees in need, devotees in crisis. And also to protect and support the preaching of Krishna consciousness. Incredible example. And Anuttama Prabhu, he travels all over the world giving these incredibly beneficial seminars on how to be a human Vaishnava and deal with people in a way that will bring credibility, inspiration, and faith in our society. And he travels probably as much as any sannyasi in our movement. Completely dedicated. And in this way, the Grihastha Ashram can be understood in its most pristine, exemplary form by observing the divine couple of Sri Sri Rukmini Anuttama. Whoever agrees with my words, please loudly chant Hari Bol. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I asked Rukmini Mataji what I should speak on tonight, and she said, whatever is in my heart. But as Vasu Ghosh has prayed, that somehow or other the Creator has place a stone instead of a heart in his body. But whatever he's praying for me. or whatever semblance of a heart is there. I was thinking that what is there is to please the devotees. So I inquired from Gaurvani Prabhu, who is the descendant of Rukmini Mataji, and who in many ways is the reason why I'm here today. When Gaurvani Prabhu invites, I would turn into Agasura if I refused his invitation. So when I asked Gaurvani Prabhu, he said, "You should ask my mother." And I said, "I already asked her." And he said, "Well, my mother likes to hear about Lord Chaitanya." So that order has been placed on my head. We sung two songs, one by Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the other by Vasu Ghosh, describing the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What would we have done if Lord Gaura had not incarnated as the Yuga Avatar in his age of Kali? How could we tolerate living? This is his prayer. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to bring the pure love of the spiritual world. Golokera Prematana Harinam Sankirtan. He came with the weapon of the holy name, not to kill people, but to kill the egoistic, selfish consciousness within people and awaken the original natural state of consciousness. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunai Stavanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriyentu. To love God is the eternal nature of every living being. Today, all over America, people are so frustrated with artificial, poisonous effects in society. There's a great campaign for cleaning the ecology and for natural foods and natural living. Big market. It's amazing. It used to be a subculture, counterculture conception, natural foods. But now, even in grocery stores like Kroger's and whatever else there is, they have whole sections of natural foods. Because people understand that to be natural is to be healthy and happy. Some time ago, I was in the airport of New Delhi. And I happened to meet Maneka Gandhi. Have any of you heard of her? She was the wife of Sanjay Gandhi, the eldest son of Indira Gandhi, and he was supposed to be prime minister. But he crashed in an airplane and left this world. And then Rajiv Gandhi, the little brother, who was an airplane pilot himself, became prime minister. But Maneka Gandhi, at that time, she was the minister in the federal government for the ecology and the environment. And she really does have a passion for bringing the natural setting of society once again ecologically. So someone introduced me to her. And the first word she spoke, she challenged me. I said, "I'm very pleased to meet you." She said, "I'm pleased to meet you. What are you Hare Krishna people doing for the ecology? How are you trying to purify the environment? That's what I want to know. There's filth in the oceans, in the rivers, in the ground, in the air. What are you doing for that? What is the use of philosophy? If you are not cleaning the environment, no one will survive." This was a very challenging reception. So So I prayed to Prabhupada to answer her question nicely. After all, she's the minister of environment for the nation of India. So I said that, why do you think the ocean, the air, the land, the rivers, the lakes, why do you think they're so polluted? Is God making them polluted? Whatever is in the hearts of human beings, they manifest that in the world around them. Because there's lust and greed, pride, envy, anger and illusion within people's hearts, because the ecology of the heart is so filthy in human beings, they are acting according to that, and they are making the entire world full of pollution. I said, dear Mrs. Gandhi, you can clean up every ocean, every lake, the whole sky and all the earth by your campaign, and I guarantee you, within a year or two later, it will be just polluted again. As long as there is this greed and selfishness in the hearts of man, they will pollute the world. The root cause and the real solution to the ecology is to clean the ecology of the heart. And by the grace of our beloved Guru Maharaj and the Supreme Lord Krishna, Krishna teaches in Gita how to cleanse the heart, make it natural and pure. How to erase greed and bring about charity. Eradicate envy and awaken love. How to overcome cruelty with compassion. This is the greatest need in the world. And that's what we are trying to do. According to the holy scriptures and the great acharyas, in this age of Kali, the most profoundly effective means of cleaning the environment of the heart is the chanting of the holy names. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, we awaken our original spiritual love that is dormant within us. When people of all walks of life, doctors or lawyers or engineers or industrialists, farmers, even politicians, if they are motivated with love and compassion, they will make the world the spiritual world. This is the greatest need. Therefore, we are chanting the holy names of Krishna. And if you really care about the ecology, you should help to spread the glories of the holy name. And she smiled and said, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. She said, you are doing very good work. So we should work together. You clean the inside, we'll clean the outside. There you are. So this is the gift that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. That we are all, by nature, eternal, full of knowledge, so full of bliss. Everyone wants to love someone else, and everyone wants to be loved. That is the fundamental principle of existence, to love and be loved. Everyone is looking for satisfaction, from the insignificant ant to the big, big heads of state. Everyone wants to find pleasure. And the greatest pleasure is reciprocation of love. Why we are frustrated? Because we have forgotten where that love is to be experienced. Within our own hearts. We have an eternal relationship with God. God is all attractive. The name Krishna is not a sectarian name of God. from any religion will deny that God is all attractive. He is the ultimate source and possessor of all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all wealth, all wisdom, and all renunciation. He's all attractive. He's the ultimate object of every soul's love. And it is He alone that can perfectly reciprocate with our love and give us complete satisfaction beyond birth and beyond death. That is the need of human society. Always. Whatever political party, whatever laws, whatever the economic situation we may be, the eternal need of every living entity is to know God, to love God, and to experience the unlimited, infinite sweetness of God's love. That is Krishna consciousness. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. The pure, unmotivated, unconditional love of the residents of the spiritual world. Sabai pung shang paro dharmo yathopaktir hokshachai ahoitiki apratiyata yadatma suprasirati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is unconditional, unmotivated love for the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna. Only that type of love can bring real satisfaction to the heart. Love doesn't mean to take. Love is to give. Therefore, real love is realized and experienced through service. Bhakti means devotional service. Therefore, we find in all the great scriptures of the Vaishnavas, whenever the Lord offers a benediction to His devotees, the devotees always ask, not send me to the spiritual world, not give me wealth, give me good family, give me prestige and power. They ask for service. Let me always be in the service of your servants. Let me always please you. To be the servant of the servant of the servant is the highest ambition of the eternal soul. For the pleasure of Rukmini Devi and Anuchama Prabhu, I'd like to share one simple story with your permission, Maharaji. Very well. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to this world, he played the role of a devotee. He's the supreme personality of Godhead, but he's appearing in such a magnanimous disposition that he's taking the role of a devotee to teach us. Krishna tells us in Gita, Sarva dharman parityaja mamekam sharanam praja. You abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to me. And how to surrender? Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajimna namaskar mami vaishashi shatyam te prati janitriyoshi. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. So the information is there. But how to do it in our practical daily life in this material world? Srila Prabhupada explained, a teacher will teach the alphabet by saying, this is how you draw A. First you make a diagonal line up, and then you make another diagonal line up that touches that, and then you meet the two with a line in the middle. Now the teacher doesn't need to go going through those lessons. She knows. But just to say draw A is very difficult. But when she teaches us by her example, we understand clearly what it is. So the Lord comes down to teach us how to perfect our life in devotion. He taught us by taking this role of a humble servant of the servant, of the Vaishnavas, by showing compassion to those who are in ignorance or suffering, and to always chant the name of God. These three principles. The essence of religion, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is to show compassion to others. And how do we get that compassion? Through a life of service and through the purification of the ecology of our heart by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna.
Bahuda Nija Sarvakshaktis. Lord Chaitanya taught that God has many names in different religions, and all of those names are invested with his powers. He personally chanted this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. It is a universal process of awakening love. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to satisfy with his devotees, he would reciprocate by manifesting his supreme opulence of the supreme God, and would accept the opulences and the worship that was offered to him. One time in the house of Srivas Pandit, there was a wonderful kirtan going on. Lord Chaitanya was dancing so sweetly, tears of love pouring from his eyes, his limbs trembling. As the devotees played the mridangas, the karatals, and were singing and dancing along with him. Seeing the love of his devotees, he wanted to reciprocate. So he assumed his true, original mood as the absolute truth, the father of all living beings, Krishna. He sat on the throne of Vishnu. And during this kirtan, there was one simple devotee who was dancing so blissfully. His name was Suklambar Brahmachari. Suklambar Brahmachari was a poverty-stricken beggar. Every day, he would go out to beg for some food. He would go to at least 10 houses every day. Now, do you know what people give beggars? They don't give the best thing in the house. They either don't give anything, or they give the worst thing in the house. Huh? Yes? Cheapest thing. He just wore tattered clothes. They were always perfectly clean, but they were rags. And he had a little satchel, a little cloth satchel that he had carried around his shoulder, and he would beg. He would only beg for rice. Actually, I used to beg when I was in India. Years ago, when I was living, before I became a Hare Krishna devotee, I was living like a sadhu, begging. And I can tell Navi Yogendra Maharaj, he was also, we are beggar brothers. Both of us, when we met Prabhupada, we were beggars. We were begging for mercy. Sometimes we were begging for rice, sometimes for mercy. So I can tell you, when people give you, they give you the worst thing in their house. Usually some broken up chipped rice from the bottom of the barrel. Yes? So Suklambar Brahmachari would go... For you, they probably gave gulab jamun. For me, they gave the chip rice. So Suklambar Brahmachari would just have this old broken up old chip rice, and he would offer it to Krishna, and then he would accept it as Krishna's mercy, and that would sustain his body. But even when he was out begging, he would be constantly chanting the holy names with tears in his eyes. He had such love. But he was so humble. Even though he was the wealthiest man of the universe because he possessed love of God, He presented himself as a beggar. And do you know, the entire town of Navadvip, they just considered him an insignificant, lowly beggar. They didn't know who he was. Nobody even knew his name. They just would see him going around. There he is. But because he had such devotion, every time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance, Suklambar Brahmachari was invited to be there. And on this day, he was in ecstasy. He was just dancing. Such a simple person. He was just dancing and dancing so freely, so simple dance, that Lord Chaitanya was just watching him with such pleasure in his heart. Then all the devotees started watching him. He was just jumping up and down, and his little cloth satchel was waving back and forth from his shoulder. Lord Chaitanya looked at Suklambar and said, "Suklambar, come here, come here." He said, "Birth after birth after birth, you are my poverty-stricken beggar." He said, "Because you have given everything you have to me, every moment, therefore you are in poverty and are a beggar. Because you never keep anything for yourself, everything is for me." He said, "Because of your love, even if you don't give me something, I take it by force." You don't remember. Do you remember in your previous birth? You were Sudama Vipra. And you collected some old chipped rice on the order of your wife. You came to Dwarka. And then seeing the opulences of my palaces in Dwarka, in my incarnation of Krishna, you were thinking, how can I give the Lord this old chipped rice that I begged door to door from? It's the only thing I have to offer the Lord. How can I give it? He just gave me a feast of the most opulent foodstuffs. He lives in this royal palace, and Rukmini is right there. She's fanning me on his order. How can I give him chipped? I can't. No way. Whatever my wife says, I'm not going to ask him for anything. I'm not going to give him this chipped rice. So Krishna said, "Sudama, what have you brought for me? I'm sure you brought something for me." And Sudama said, "No, my lord, I don't have anything. I didn't give you anything." And then Lord said, "But Krishna, he knows everything. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chaujana bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana." He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows all living beings. So the Lord just reached over and literally stole that little cloth full of chipped rice and ate it. And Rukmini, after seeing, she took his hand and she said, "My lord, that's enough. One bite is enough. You can't eat this. You've already fulfilled the entire universe by taking one morsel." And Krishna was so happy. Lord Chaitanya said, "You don't remember this, Suklambar Brahmachari, but in your previous birth, I forcibly took your chipped rice." Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached his hand in that torn up cloth satchel of Suklambar Brahmachari, took an entire handful of this broken rice and ate it. Handful after handful after handful after handful after handful. He just kept eating it. And Suklambar Brahmachari, he was simultaneously in agony and ecstasy. He said, "Now my life is finished. How can you take this? It's broken particles of old rice, my lord. How can you take this from my bag? Now my life is finished." He fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained that actually when the Lord was eating it, Suklambar Brahmachari was rolling in the ground. And all the devotees were weeping and crying to see that the Lord is accepting his broken rice. Lord Chaitanya said, I have never, ever tasted such sweet nectar as this. He said, if you don't give it to me, I will take it by force. But if a person who doesn't have love and devotion to me, even if he offers me the most opulent heavenly nectar, I will never accept it. The Lord is only attracted to love. He is not attracted to accumulation of knowledge or memorization of scriptures. Because what does he need that? He's the author. He's the compiler. He's the knower of all scriptures. He doesn't need us to recite hymns for him. He doesn't need our austerities, our fasting. He doesn't need our rituals. These are all mediums by which we can express our love. The rituals of religion, the accumulation of knowledge, is all means by which we can develop love and express love. But it is only love that satisfies the Lord. Only by devotion can I be only understood as I am. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told Suklambar Brahmachari that because you possess this love, and because I have eaten your rice and experienced such wonderful, wonderful bliss, today I will give you a benediction. I have descended into this world for the singular purpose of transforming people's hearts and giving them love of God. Today I give you pure, unalloyed devotion of the highest level. Today, the perfection of life is yours. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai! Now, the Supreme Lord is the author of the Vedas. He has taught so many rules and regulations. He has taught tantras, mantras, yantras, mudras. And if you don't do all these things properly, then the Lord does not accept your offering. However, love and devotion crushes all these rules to powder. Haribo. Suklambar Brahm, the very root, the very essence of all rules, regulations, is to awaken love of God. And it is explained that Suklambar Brahmachari, he didn't make an offering with mantra, tantra, yantra, mudra. He didn't even make an offering. The Lord stole it from him because he had love. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that anyone who hears this story with sincere attention will very soon attain pure love for Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Haribo.
Haribo. So this is what our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada has come to bring the world. As an empowered manifestation of the Supreme Lord's unlimited mercy, he was willing to endure all sorts of impossible situations, expose himself to incredible obstacles, just to give us, just to give every living being in every continent of the world the opportunity to taste the highest extreme of pure love of God. The simple process of chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya again and again taught how love of God comes through the chanting of the holy names. When we chant in a particular spirit, which is the very foundational basis of our means of pleasing Krishna, Trinadapi Sunichena Tadori Vasyeshana Alanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhari. To be more humble than a blade of grass. People step on grass. Cows eat grass. Dogs, you know what they do on grass. Nobody cares twice for the grass. But the grass just continues being green and soft and nice, however you deal with it. And when the grass is uprooted, it becomes a piece of straw in the street. Lord Chaitanya says, be more humble than the straw in the street. More tolerant than tree. We cut the wood of a tree, cut down its life, and the tree offers its body for us to build a house so that we could live nicely. In the cold, the tree stands in the ice and gives us wood to keep us warm. In the summer, the tree stands exposed to the burning noonday sun and gives us shade to keep us cool. Lord Chaitanya explained, what is the giving quality of a tree? Be more tolerant, more compassionate than a tree. Offer all respects to others and expect none in return. Be devoid of sense of false prestige. Unless we aspire to attain these inner qualities, we cannot please the Lord really by our chanting of the holy names. When we please Krishna, who has descended within his name, then we develop such a spontaneous, ecstatic taste for chanting that Kirtaniya Sadhari. We cannot stop chanting. We chant constantly. There's a nice story. There was a little boy living in Jagannath Puri. He was an associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was very, very simple, but he loved Lord Chaitanya very much. And Lord Chaitanya loved him because of his simple devotion. One day this little boy saw a devotee. This devotee, he was always chanting the holy names. He conditioned himself. He was so humble that the holy name just never stopped vibrating from his tongue. Literally 24 hours a day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Govinda Mukunda Vanamali. He was constantly chanting the names of the Lord. His tongue spontaneously was always chanting. How many of you have this problem? So when he would go to the bathroom, he was thinking that it's not a clean thing to chant while you're going to the bathroom. So one day he was going, walking toward the ocean side to respond to the calls of nature, which is a polite way of saying, pass stool. So he was going, and with all of his might, with both of his hands, he was holding his tongue like this. Because his tongue just kept wanting to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram Ram. But he wanted to pass stool. He didn't want to desecrate the holy name by chanting when he's passing. So he's holding. And this little boy saw him. The boy said, what are you doing? He understood what he was doing. He said, my dear sir, don't hold your tongue. The holy name is transcendental to every situation in this world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us that in all times, in all circumstances, in all conditions of life, we must chant the holy names. So you just go on chanting. Stop holding your tongue. Chant the holy names in every situation. Whatever you do, the name is all pure. We must always remember Krishna. So the man let go of his tongue. And the devotees, they saw this. And they were so happy. Lord Chaitanya happened to be walking by and saw when he was instructing this person. His name was Gopal. Lord Chaitanya gave him the name. He said, because you are speaking the highest truth, you are Guru. Therefore, from this day on, your name is Gopal Guru. One of the greatest acharyas of our Sampradaya. He later on took initiation from Vakreshwar Pandit and was the acharya of the Radhakant Math, where the Gambira is in Puri. Gopal Guru. He wrote many wonderful books. So a little boy, he just did like this. So there was a devotee named Abhiram Thakur. He has an interesting story. Rukmini Mataji, should I tell? Huh? Please, there you go. Thank you. Abhiram Thakur was actually Sri Dama, the brother of Sri Radharani in the spiritual world of Goloka, who descended. Now, he had a power that if he offered obeisances to any stone that was not a genuine Shalagram Shila, it would just break. And if he offered obeisances to any human being that had even the slightest tinge of material desire, the person would die. Hare Krishna. So he didn't offer his obeisances to so many people. Because he was very compassionate. He had a whip called Jai Mangala. And anyone he touched with that whip would immediately become transformed with ecstatic love of God. This is a true story. So he heard about how this little Gopal was given the name Gopal Guru by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He heard about how Gopal instructed that devotee to stop holding his tongue and chant always, everywhere, in all circumstances. So he decided, I want to go and offer my obeisances to Gopal Guru. So the word spread, Abhiram Thakur is coming to Puri to offer obeisances to Gopal Guru. Gopal Guru was a little boy. So his parents were really worried, because parents never think that their child is a paramhamsa without desires. And even the devotees were worried. They were thinking, maybe we should hide him somewhere or something. So Abhiram came in to Lord Chaitanya's residence, Gambira. And little Gopal was sitting next to Lord Chaitanya. And Abhiram was just about to offer obeisances, and Gopal himself, you know, he didn't think he was pure. So he wanted shelter. So he jumped in the lap of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him so lovingly and affectionately. Then Abhiram Thakur offered obeisances. And Gopal Guru, little boy, smiled. He was protected by the Lord. And he was also confirmed by all that he was an absolutely pure lover of God. Because he was constantly chanting the holy names. Nam nama kari bahuta nija sarva shakti stutrapita niyamita smaranena kama. Ethadrishi tapa kripa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrishami hajani nanuraga. My dear Lord, you have so many names, and in each of your names you have invested your powers, your opulences. You are none different than your name. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained, what are the effects of sincerely chanting the names of the Lord with humility? Chaito Dharapana Marajanam, it cleanses the heart of all misgivings, all unwanted anartas. By chanting sincerely, the holy name reveals Krishna's eternal transcendental form. The holy name reveals the qualities and characteristics of the Lord. The holy name, just by chanting that name, which is the reservoir of all pleasure, reveals Krishna's devotees, his abode. The name reveals all of Krishna's pastimes, and the name reveals one's
intimate, eternal relationship of service with Krishna in his pastimes. The holy name alone is the power to reveal everything about the ultimate spiritual truths within our heart. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said there is no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. Anywhere, everywhere, always chant the holy name. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Katiranyata. But Krishna is not different than his name. Unless we mold our life in a spirit of humility, compassion, and selfless service, then the minimal effect of the holy name takes place. But when we please Krishna, by our humble service attitude, by our eagerness to hear his glories, to serve his devotees, to uplift those who are fallen, then the holy name manifests its unlimited true glory and attracts our heart and awakens our love. This was the gift Srila Prabhupada gave to the world. He had that faith. When I was in Vrindavan earlier this year, I met Brahmananda Prabhu. He was so excited to call me into his room. And he showed me something I had never seen before. He had a newspaper article from August of 1965. Before Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta to come to the West to preach. Did you see this article, Maharaj? I never saw it before. It's incredible. It's ecstatic. It's unbelievable.
Tell us that.
Would you like to hear?
Oh!
Very well. The newspaper article is describing, it's in Bengali, but it was translated into English. The reporter says that A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, a disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur from the Gaudiya Math, is tomorrow or very shortly going to board the freight ship Jaladuta on a journey to New York City. He has many followers who are waiting for him to facilitate his preaching the holy name of Lord Chaitanya Krishna all over the Western world. Hare Krishna. We don't know, but it seems that Prabhupada told them that. The only person he knew was Sally Agarwal and her husband. And they didn't even know them, never met them. This Mr. Agarwal, he was an Indian man that was totally Americanized. He cared nothing about the religion. He was just completely doing the American ways of life. And somehow his father said, send an invitation for my friend. And he sent invitations for so many friends, but they never came. So he thought the same way. That was the only person he knew. He wasn't a follower. He didn't even know him. He didn't know anybody. But the newspaper article said he had so many followers, he had a movement, and he was going to spread the holy names all over the world. Arivo!
Arivo!
Because Prabhupada had such faith in the order of his spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on their first meeting, he said, you are an intelligent young man. You should teach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. And
just a couple weeks before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world, he wrote a letter to Prabhupada with the same message. Prabhupada's prayers on Jaladutta, he is explaining that I have no qualification, I'm insignificant, but my Guru Maharaj has given me this order. By the power of his order, the holy name of the Lord will be spread throughout the world. On all the lands, the oceans, the seas, the holy name of Krishna will be chanted. He had that faith in the power of the holy name, that it can awaken pure love in anyone's heart, whoever they may be, wherever they may be, if they simply take it, accept his mercy. Once devotees asked Prabhupada, what is our qualification to understand the pastimes of Vrindavan and be a part of Lord Chaitanya's movement? Prabhupada said, you had no qualifications. I made your qualifications. And when he says, I made your qualifications, he said, he prays to Krishna, I'm just your puppet, Krishna. I'm just your puppet. Na chao, na chao, na chao. Make me dance. So it is to his lotus feet that we place our heads with all reverence and humility. Yes. By the loving mercy of the Lord, he descends into this world and into our lives to give us real love and real happiness. To accept this mercy and to share it with others is the most noble and fulfilling purpose in life. Thank you very much.
This has been one of the most inspirational moments, at least that I know of, in this house.
It is our most inspirational moment to hear you. I pray that you kindly bless me that I may return to serve you once again.
Please
come back every day. Maharaj,
if you
can please join us next year for
Rasiyatma. Thank you. Will you bless me, please? Yes. Thank you. Bless you.
We'll be waiting for you.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question that you can just give a little...
I hope this is. I'm not trying to ruin anyone's schedule. I just had a question. I know that it's kind of a priority for the devotees in this community to really be able to build a nice community together, and we find so many different obstacles. Maybe you can give us some very simple and sweet advice that could help us move on the path to building a nice Vaishnava community here.
What are the obstacles?
It's hard to define, actually. So many small things. Does anyone have some wisdom as to what are the obstacles in this community to building Vaishnava?
Just the geographic separateness of everyone so far away.
How far away?
Hare Krishna. Our drive is what it takes to just drive from one neighborhood of Bombay to another.
Like 1 hour apart from each other, but only them. There's not many devotees in that area. There's only one, mm-hmm. one devotee there, and then another hour there's another devotee. It's very small group of devotees spread over a wide distance. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Not
always working really, really hard to make money to stay in that
place. Also living as many.
You know better than me. But I will speak something on your order. For anything to succeed in our spiritual life, we must very carefully and sincerely invest our own hearts of what is our priorities. What we make a priority, we will pursue. For those in the Grihastha ashram who have families and jobs, the very basis intelligently make priorities and pursue your priorities. There are so many considerations. We have our economic consideration, our social considerations, geographical considerations. But we also have our spiritual considerations. Human life is very rare. How precious is the human birth? But within this rare, precious human birth, the most valuable thing there is the association of devotees. Because in that association we can facilitate purification of the heart. The real goal of life. Nayam deho deha bhajam na loke kastan kaman arhani bhajam. Now that you have taken this human life, simply economic development, raising families, the animals do that. The special benediction of the human life is self-realization. In this very life, we can realize the unlimited treasure of spiritual consciousness within us. Therefore, this should be the first consideration, to receive Krishna consciousness and to share it with others. And how to do that? We have our basic sadhana, to regularly chant the holy names, to live a moral, ethical life, to read the scriptures, to hear the glories of the Lord. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan, this is the food grains that nourish us spiritually. You're so enthusiastic. There are symptoms of spiritual revelation.
I hope.
This happens sometimes. The world is full of alternatives. We must us really understand how important it is that in this human form of life we have the chance in this very life to become spiritually perfect. Our Param Guru Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada described how if someone simply follows the process of chanting and hearing, if someone simply follows the process of living a devotional life in the service of Guru and the Vaishnavas, they will go back to Godhead. That's the mercy of the Lord. We are not depending on our own efforts. We are depending on the mercy of the Lord coming through His Vaishnavas. So if we want to fight a war, we need food. We need nourishment. If you want to work and make money, you need food. You need nourishment. What if you don't eat? Can you do your job? We have to have nourishment. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is our spiritual nourishment. If we don't do that, we will be spiritually weak and we will easily be defeated and diverted by the illusory energy of the Lord. So therefore, our priority, we may be working jobs, we may be raising families, but if we're doing it in the service of Krishna, then we must be spiritually strong. And that means we need nourishment to chant the holy names, to hear the glories of the Lord. And what makes it all feasible is the association of devotees. So this should be a priority. If it is a priority, a little distance will not make much matter. In Bombay, we have devotees who live 2 hours away through traffic to come to the temple, to come to a satsang. They have to go in trains. A train car that has a maximum of 60 people, it has about 400 people in it. People are on the roof, people are out the windows. But to them, it's not even an inconvenience because they know it has to be done. For a mother, how many of you have been mothers? Probably all of us in one birth or another. Very, very difficult service. What happens when the baby cries in the middle of the night? You just say, shut up, I'm sleeping. You have to get up and take care of it. What happens if the baby in the middle of a lecture starts doing what they do? You have to go out and change them. It's not a question of whether there's an obstacle or not. Because there's a need, you do it. Because you understand it's important, you do it. It's a necessity. How, just an ordinary materialistic person, how long do so many people drive to go to work every day? 1 hour?
Mm-hmm.
1 hour.
Huh?
On an average, some people commute 1.5 hours.
In the city of New York, in the city of Washington, D.C., in the city of Philadelphia, put all three together, how many people do you think every day, 5 days a week, travel for 1 to 2 to 3 hours a day just to get to work and back? Millions? Why? Because there's a priority. They have to make money. Money is the honey. Prahlad Maharaj said like that. It's a priority, so they do it. It's not a question of whether it's difficult, whether it's geographical problems, whether they have other concerns. They have to do it because it's necessity. But hundreds and billions and trillions of quadrillions of times more important it is for our spiritual salvation than making some money. If we can travel so many hours a day to make a little money, can't we travel so many hours to rejuvenate our spiritual lives, to bring Krishna consciousness into the focus of our existence? Without association of devotees, we cannot. And there are so many people who are suffering due to forgetfulness of God. If we don't have a family, if we don't have a congregation that we can show people as an alternative, then they're suffering. Why are they suffering? Because we're too lazy to do something. Because we have other priorities. As soon as it's understood that it is necessary to have our personal, individual, spiritual practices, and it's necessary that we come together and we create a very vibrant, dynamic, ecstatic family of devotees, exuberating energies, unless we understand it's necessary for society, it's necessary for me, it's necessary for my family spiritually, then we will do it. There's no question of obstacles. Where there's a will, there is a way. Does that answer your question? We have to do it. If we want to be sad, humans are social animals. We need society. Very few people can go into the Himalayan mountains and just live alone in a cave. And I've been up there in the caves, and I've seen there are a few people who actually do it. But most people, you know, they somehow or other find somebody to live in that cave with them when nobody's looking. I've seen it. It's very difficult. There's fulfillment in social relationships. And when those social relationships are centered in Krishna, it becomes so satisfying, so fulfilling, so meaningful. We should ask ourselves, at the time of death, when we look back at our life, we're going to have to evaluate what priorities we made year by year, month by month, week by week, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, moment by moment. What was our priorities? Was it to serve God, to love God, to awaken our spiritual potential? Or was it simply money and mundane entertainment and relaxation? Like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. All that money and relaxation and comforts and all of those things. As soon as you have it, it's gone. Right? As soon as you get it, it's gone. You can't hold on to anything. It's flickering. Sukha-dukha-da. Very flickering. But whatever we do for our spiritual life has eternal benefit, eternal value. Washington, D.C. is the capital of the most powerful nation on the planet Earth. If people in Washington, D.C. understand what it means to know God and love God, it can affect the entire planet in a wonderful, wonderful way. So please, try to create this very family environment. There's so many wonderful devotees in this area. There are older devotees who have dedicated decades of their life to the service of the Lord. And there's newer devotees who are young and enthusiastic and full of energy to serve Krishna. There's little children who are giving blessings. If we come together, if we learn to love each other and serve each other in the glorification of Lord Krishna, we can find such meaning, such fulfillment, such happiness in life, and we can spread that energy to others. So please, try to make it a priority. Don't get stuck in the day-to-day syndrome of material energy. Birth after birth shall keep you in that rut. If you don't make your priorities, come together, chant the holy names, hear about Krishna, serve the Lord. What a wonderful program it is tonight. Unfortunately, it's late. But it's very symbolic. Just like now, it is 10:40. I'm sorry. So time's running out for the day's practically finished. But in the same way, our life is practically finished. Moment by moment, second by second, our very life is being taken away from us. So with the little time we have, let us utilize it with priority for what is most important. Actually, the devotees in this Washington, D.C., Potomac area are some of the nicest, sweetest devotees in the world. If you could come together and appreciate each other and encourage each other. Srila Prabhupada's blessings will just shower upon you. And it will be miraculous what you can do together. This is my humble opinion. What do you say, Gorakhani?
Let's give us a blessing.
Is this possible, what I'm speaking? How many obstacles did Prabhupada have to endure to give us Krishna? Do our obstacles to come together to serve Prabhupada compare to that? Love means reciprocation. Prabhupada endured inconceivable, overwhelming obstacles to give us Krishna's love. And how can we reciprocate with that? By coming together to serve his mission, together. By sharing his love with ourselves, with the world. Obstacles may be there, but the greater the obstacles, the greater their opportunity is to show your love for Krishna. I learned this from Anuttama Prabhu. But he wrote, for them there's no obstacle. Whatever obstacles, doesn't matter, because they have their priorities.
I'm looking for Rukmini and Anuttama in the National Airport.
But sir, you are one of those people.
Yeah. But I'm adding to your speech that they let me chant in the morning over there because I got to be there at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. So they let me chant in the morning in the at my job, so I don't have to go anywhere. That's a blessing, really, for me.
It is God's blessing.
Yes, it is God's blessing.
There is no other employer in all of creation like Rukmini. That's the most popular thing I said on that.
So she lets you chant or she makes you chant?
She makes me also. And I love to chant.
For such a soul, just her glance makes you chant.
That's true. Exactly.
Mom is a very unique and wonderful person because whenever we have something in the store that's made by a devotee or a CD that's a devotee singing, catch herself almost, this is a devotee who makes this. And then she sells it. She just wants to sell mostly what's made by devotees.
Thank you, thank you. You have brought hope to my heart.
Do you have music? Do you?
I hope not.
In the store, they said, oh my God, what a beautiful feeling. They feel the energy in the store.
That is because when you walk into a store, the motivation of that store is generally greed. But the singular motivation of this store is the loving desire to serve her spiritual master. And therefore that energy permeates and affects people's hearts. And in Uttama Prabhu, of course, they are partnership in marriage. It is their loving offering to Srila Prabhupada. It's there to facilitate devotional service. And Anuttama Prabhu and Rukmini Mataji, their love, their service attitude is permeating everything in that store. Even the most insignificant trinket is like Mahaprasad from that store. How many agree with this idea? Thank you very much.
I have no idea.